Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detectthesos.com to learn more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We head out to the fan hotline. He joins us at 9:20 every single Wednesday. It's our good friend from Cleveland.com, Dan Lobby, and he joins us now. Dan, what's going on?
Hey, Jake. How you doing?
Dan, I could be better. I'll be honest. We could definitely be better after Sunday.
Yeah, that was a tough one. That's one way to put it.
Yeah, the loss was bad enough in sitting there and watching it and just going through the emotions of not being able to beat the Jets. Dan, what really bothers me is then coming into the next week and basically watching nothing then change after losing to one of the worst teams, if not the worst team in the NFL following their trades. How big of a problem right now is lack of accountability in that building?
You know, this is kind of how Kevin Stefanski operates. And I think sometimes it's a strength and sometimes it's a weakness. And I think in this case, it's a weakness because I think there's a fine line between, you know, being loyal and kind of not having knee-jerk reactions and then inaction. And this week just feels like inaction. They're obviously sticking with Dylan Gabriel at quarterback, sticking with Bubba Ventrone at special teams coordinator. Cam Thomas is still on the roster and he's had multiple special teams mistakes. I think there is accountability to the extent that, look, they're coaching these guys up. They're watching this tape. I think they're being honest when they watch it. I think they're being honest talking about mistakes and things like that. But at some point, there does need to be some kind of action. And, you know, I don't know if firing Bubba Ventrone would change anything on special teams, but it certainly is something that should be on the table because they've been bad all season long and they've cost them games. You know, again, going back to Cam Thomas, he's made multiple mistakes on special teams and then, of course, jumping off sides there. And you've got to wonder, like, what are you kind of keeping him on your roster for at this point? So I think there's things they could have done to make changes that they didn't do. And I understand why Browns fans are a little disheartened by that.
I thought Kevin Stefanski's answer was interesting today when they talked about accountability, and he talks about accountability behind closed doors. I mean, you mentioned some of it, Dan, but I guess I just struggled to see what that even means when you say you do it behind closed doors. Because, and I mentioned this earlier in the show, like we use all the cliches in the NFL that it's a cutthroat business, that it's a what have you done for me lately business. And then it's not like it's Pee Wee football, though. Like, you're not having these guys run snakes after practice because they messed up. Like, that doesn't accomplish anything. So what is accountability behind closed doors in your eyes?
You know, we maybe we'll see on Sunday let's say Cam Thomas, you know, with Alex Wright's injury, there'd be an opportunity for him to play a little more. Maybe he ends up out of the rotation somehow or other. I don't know how much we would notice that because it's not like he was playing a ton to begin with. But, maybe there would be changes on who's on those special teams units. And there'd be changes on, you know, who's on the return units, who's on the coverage units, things like that. Kevin has always been really private about conversations he's had with players. So I'm sure there are conversations happening behind closed doors. And again, that's frustrating for fans because fans want to see it. And this has just been Kevin's style for 6 years now. He's just not going to be public about things like that.
How would you have graded Dylan Gabriel's play on Sunday from what you watched?
You know, I know statistically it was better than what we've seen, but I still just wasn't impressed. I think I would give it a D. You know, he's missing throw. I mean, the throw to Malachi Corley, I can't get over. You know, you had a chunk play set up, and all you had to do was get the ball in Malachi Corley's hands, and that might have been 6 points, and he overthrew him on what should have been the easiest pass of the day. You know, you can't take a sack on third down on that play before the fire drill. You can't take a sack on fourth down on that fourth and one. Now, is it all his fault in those situations? No. But as a quarterback, you've got to understand how to get rid of that football, how to try to make something happen and not take a sack in those situations. So I think the eyeball test, you know, again, statistically, it was a better performance. But I think the eyeball test kind of disagreed with that. I think he was still missing throws. We haven't seen the accuracy. We haven't seen the timing, all of those things yet. So I thought it was a disappointing game.
Do you still feel that they obviously keep preaching patience with the quarterback spot, that they're seeing developments with Dylan Gabriel? Do you still feel like patience at this point in the season is the right answer?
I don't have a problem with it, and this is why. They're 2-7, right? So for them to even think about making the, like, let's say they had to get to 9-8 to make the playoffs. I mean, just do the math on that. They would have to go 7-1. This team's not going to go 7-1 to have a shot at the playoffs. So to me, it's just, why not stick with your quarterback plan, you know, as closely as you can? And part of the equation is, how ready do they think Shedeur Sanders is? So if you give Dylan Gabriel one more game, two more games, that puts him at 6-7 starts. Then you could hand things off to Shedeur Sanders. You could get him, you know, doing the math in my head, I don't know what that would be, like 6 starts for him, something like that. And you'd have a pretty fair look at both guys. So to me, at 2-7, I just don't see why it's a terrible thing to stick with your plan. It doesn't feel like there's a lot of faith in that locker room being lost with Dylan Gabriel. I think guys are saying the right things about him still. So I think you're okay in that regard, but it's just the reality of the situation. Give Dylan Gabriel one more week, two more weeks, then hand things over to Shedeur Sanders. We'll see if that's actually their plan. That's what I would do. And I don't have an issue with that just because of where they are right now.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us here on the Fan Hotline. Dan, a conversation that was had earlier on the station today I thought was really interesting. You mentioned the support coming out for Dylan Gabriel, and you really haven't heard players go in any way hard in the paint for Shedeur Sanders to be the starter, or that in any way that they feel that the wrong starting quarterback is out there. What does that tell us about this quarterback situation, if anything?
I think it has been interesting how they've been very supportive of him. Now, I wouldn't expect anyone to just come out and like throw him under the bus or, you know, say anything bad about him, you know, behind a podium. But I do think it's important to remember, like, you know, whether you trust them to make the evaluation correctly or not, right? The Browns coaches, the Browns front office, these guys are in the building. They see these guys every day. They're in the meeting rooms. They see them on the practice field. They know more about these guys than anybody. And I think that goes for the players too. Like, they're in those meeting rooms as well. They're, you know, practicing with these guys. They're seeing it every day more than we are. So I do think it's meaningful when they are supporting Dylan Gabriel to an extent, and we're not seeing that groundswell from players, or we're not seeing players start to hint that maybe they want to get a look at Shedeur Sanders.
Hey, Dan, is it fair to look at things right now and the way that the season has gone and almost re-question the idea that you move on from a guy like Kenny Pickett, given how, I mean, I don't know that we can fully say, they say Dylan Gabriel was ready for the start. I don't know that I see Dylan Gabriel is ready. They say Shador's not ready and Joe went out so fast. Is it fair to criticize that move at this point?
I think it is. And I think it's a repeat of sort of what they did a couple years ago with DTR in his rookie season. They went through that preseason and they felt like he was ready to be the backup quarterback. And so they made him the backup quarterback and they traded Josh Dobbs. Now, this isn't to turn Josh Dobbs into something he's not, obviously, but he played well that season when he was a backup. I think it was with Arizona and also in Minnesota. He had a couple good games. Browns, on the other hand, put DTR out there for his first start against Baltimore earlier than they wanted to. And it was a disaster. And that feels a lot like what's happening here. They really overreacted, I think, to what Dylan Gabriel did in training camp and really more so what he did in those preseason games, that last preseason game. And they decided he was ready to be the backup. then before he was probably ready, they had to go to him because they benched Joe Flacco after three games. If you had Kenny Pickett in the building, I don't know what he's going to be able to do, but at least he gives you a veteran presence. I think he gives you a better chance in some of those football games. So I do think that was a mistake.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here. Wishing you a very happy half-off holiday, because right now Mint Mobile is offering you the gift of 50% off unlimited. To be clear, that's half price, not half the service. And Mint is still premium unlimited wireless for a great price. So that means a half day. Yeah? Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan equivalent to $15 per month required. New customer offer for first 3 months only. Speed slow after 35 gigabytes if network's busy. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.
All right, let's take a look at the play calling change made this week. Obviously, going from Kevin Stefanski to OC Tommy Rees. Did you feel like, hey, there's more hope with this offense after watching one game of Tommy Rees call plays?
I did like a little bit of what he did. I thought it was interesting he came out on the first series, and obviously the series didn't go well, but they were an 11 personnel that whole series. Again, I mentioned that Corley play. I thought that was a nice little wrinkle. I do think Tommy's going to be a little more prone to sticking with the run game. You know, one of the things he talked about last week was Nick Saban kind of taught him, with the guys you do well, put them in positions to do what they do best, and essentially just keep doing it, right? Like, let them keep doing what they do best. And I think he's going to continue to harp on that. I think it was important to get Jerry Jeudy all those targets early. Obviously, he gets in the end zone for the first time. He has his best game. There's still a little ways to go with him to get back to where he was last year. But I thought that was progress. So I think Tommy Rees did some good things. Now, it'll be interesting going against this Baltimore team. Their defense has obviously improved immensely since the last time the Browns faced them. It'll be interesting to see what he does this week at home against that defense. But I thought there were some positive things. It felt a little bit fresher. And maybe that was just a mental thing because we knew there was a new play caller. But I felt like it was a little bit better than it had been under Kevin.
I know. I mean, I definitely felt the same way. We look at, obviously, you mentioned Jerry Jeudy's involvement. He walked away with 12 targets in that game, 6 catches, a touchdown. Based on what we saw in that game, is getting Jerry involved something this offense still, you think, desperately needed to do and continues to need to do?
Yeah, I think you do. And then that emphasis to get him early touches. I thought that was a really important thing. And I like it when OCs kind of look at it like a basketball team or look at him like a center that you're asking to get a bunch of rebounds, right? Every now and again, we just got to force you a touch. I don't know if it's going to work. I don't know, whatever. We're going to let you get a shot up. Well, with a wide receiver, maybe you call a play that you're not 100% sure if what the outcome is going to be, but you get the football in his hands. You let him actually run a route and get to catch the ball instead of just running down the field and running back and running down the field and running back. So I think it helps with a guy like Jerry to get him involved early, let him touch the football, let him try to make some plays. And I think we saw that Sunday.
Again, Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com with us here. All right, Dan, we got, obviously, as you mentioned, the Ravens coming up here on Sunday. Is there an ounce of belief from you that the Browns can actually walk away and win this game?
No, I don't think so. I would have a lot of trouble to pick this game. Now, the Browns have done well in the past, you know, somewhat containing Lamar Jackson. They've done well. They've done really well against Derrick Henry, whether he's with the Titans or with the Ravens. For the most part, they've done well against him. So I guess there's that tiny chance, and weird things happen in division games. This defense plays awesome at home. So. Those are the things you would point to if you're trying to make this pick. But I think Baltimore comes into this game, they know that they have no room for error. they know that they can't get upset by the Browns this week. They can't get upset by the Jets next week. They have to win these games in front of them against these beatable teams before they start getting back into playing Pittsburgh again. And I think they finished the year with like Green Bay and New England. So they understand the importance of this game. So I don't think they're going to sleepwalk into Cleveland. I think they're going to be ready to go. And I think the line is 8.5 still. I think Baltimore is going to have a chance to cover that.
So obviously, like, Baltimore's a tough week to see the Browns winning. Hey, did losing to the Jets make it difficult to even rationalize games later down the season, like the Raiders and Titans games that, I mean, I would have went into this week thinking those are games the Browns should absolutely be favored in, and there really shouldn't be much of a reason that you walk away and lose them.
Yeah, I think it absolutely changes the outlook for those games a bunch. I think this game should have shaken a lot of people in that building and should have, you know, if there were people who were like gung-ho, hey, there's no way we're changing anything. I think losing a game like that has to shake that belief a little. And yeah, I mean, Justin Fields threw the ball 11 times and the Jets clearly weren't trusting him to throw the football. So the Browns should go win in Vegas, right? They should beat Tennessee when the Titans come to town. But we just saw them lose to a team that had a fire sale and didn't trust their quarterback to throw the football. And that's why you can't just start chalking up these wins that they're going to beat these teams. And, you know, you're starting to get to that point where you're having those discussions. Do you even want them to beat those teams at this point? But, yeah, if you were counting those as wins, I don't think you can count anything as a win at this point.
Hey, I mean, Dan, we go through it and we continue to look at games like that. I guess I struggle to see how you go through and then rationalize. Like, does you going through and saying, all right, well, should have shaken people in that building about change. Does that go all the way to the top? Does that go to potentially an Andrew Berry and a Kevin Stefanski?
I mean, I would hope so. I would hope that, and again, it doesn't mean that you have to fire these guys tomorrow, or it doesn't even necessarily mean that you have to fire them at the end of the season. But if they were thinking in that building, like, hey, the season hasn't gone like as planned, but we've acquired all these assets. We're kind of looking towards 26, looking towards 27, even a little bit, you know, just go out there and win the games you're supposed to, right? Beat the Jets, beat the Raiders, beat the Titans, maybe pull an upset in the division, something like that. You can sell that a little bit. This game, to play like that and have those mental mistakes, the way they lost that game, the special teams mistakes, again, just continuing to happen. Again, losing to a team that had a fire sale and is definitely looking towards 26 and 27. I don't know how you could just shrug that off. You know, you can shrug off getting beat by a team like the Ravens. I don't know how you could shrug off just, you know, getting beat by a team like the Jets.
All right, Dan, I've asked you a lot of negative questions, and probably rightfully so with this team right now. I'll give you an opportunity to end things potentially on a high note. Carson Schlesinger has obviously looked incredible coming off the ankle injury, looked really good on Sunday. Potential defensive rookie of the year. Can he still get that award even if the Browns don't find success this season?
I think he can. He's been so good. Now, it's probably going to be hard from the linebacker position, and I will be honest, I'm sort of like what Kevin Stefanski said on Monday. I haven't dug in to what every single defensive rookie has done, but with the way he's playing, and obviously they're ready to kind of push for that a little bit publicly with Kevin saying what he said on Monday in that Zoom call, I think Carson's got a chance because he's been really impressive. And for him to go out there and play like that on a high ankle sprain, which can be a 4 to 6 week injury sometimes, and it's hard to move. That was unbelievable. So yeah, I think there'll be some buzz building for Schlesinger. I know Baldy was out there on Twitter doing a little Baldy's breakdown on him. He put out that play where he was chasing a tackle with his helmet off. So I could see some buzz building for Schlesinger here.
There we go. We got to end things on a positive, Dan. That's maybe the last thing we'll get to end on a positive throughout the rest of the season. But
it's impressive. I'm impressed.
We appreciate you as always, Dan. Thanks for the time.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Dan Lobby, Cleveland.com, with us there on the Fan Hotline. Always good stuff out of Dan. We'll react to what he had to say. Accountability for the Browns certainly appears to be a problem. My biggest gripe with it coming to you guys in 5 minutes and overtime with Jake Volnick on the Fan.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.